Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia through the facilities of People's Internet Radio, which is a viewer-funded station, folks. So if you like what's going on over here, please hit the donate button. We're also being simulcast through Shake and Wake Radio. Thank you, Annie, for your efforts. Today there's two ladies that have joined me that I really consider to be sisters in this world, even though we're separated by thousands of miles. Over the years, I've had many, many conversations with these two ladies, and their insight and love and compassion and understanding for what's going on in this world, I find it unmatched in a lot of people I talk to in my travels through the internet world. Welcome to the show, Patty and Barbara, and thanks for joining me. And I was actually on a show with these two ladies this morning, and the conversation got real good, so I thought I'd invite them back in this afternoon and continue the conversation. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Barry.
Yeah, good to be here. And hey, Annie, love you. I'm glad she's back on with Shake and Wake.
Yeah, she's doing a real good job over there. And, you know, for a lady that isn't very computer savvy, I know that she's managed to learn a lot of things in the last couple of months here to try and get the station up and working full time. So kudos to Annie. But yeah. We talked about multiple issues this morning, and it seems like when we start talking about any issue, we end up going down multiple rabbit holes that seem to support this issue. But really, when we look at our world today, it's a giant puzzle of little pieces that are coming together right now to show us a very big, ugly picture. And where do you guys want to go today? The one thing that I've been kind of paying attention to, and I'm going to get an expert on next Sunday. I was just introduced to a lady that is a very, very well-known expert on 5G. And you sent me a little link there before the show, Patty, about birds dropping. And I think it was the Netherlands where they did a short test on 5G. Do you want to talk about that for a minute, or where do you guys want to go?
Yeah, we can definitely talk about that. I think it's very, very important, although they're trying very hard not to make the correlation between the 5G test and the hundreds of the birds falling out of the sky. I think it's starlings.
Also, the ducks in the nearby pond were putting all their heads went under the water immediately. Some of them flew off. They were acting kind of strange, people said. But one thing they found only through their testing of these birds. You know, they gather them all up, thousands of birds, and then they got to test them. They found internal bleeding only, no poison, nothing, just internal bleeding. But this reminded me of what happened in 2012 here in the United States. I don't know if you remember this, Barry. Thousands of birds were falling out of the sky, all different types of birds. And, authorities were saying they freaked out because of the holiday where the, you know, setting off the – what do they call it? It's fireworks, that the birds were freaking out because of fireworks, or they must have hit an invisible wall. But literally thousands of birds were falling out of the sky on that very date. And so they, of course, gathered them all up. People came in hazmat suits. That was the really odd thing. So people, these are all over people's lawns, and these people show up in white trucks with hazmat suits and start gathering up the birds. You have people standing on their lawn in their T-shirts and, you know, in their doorways, and these hazmat-suited people are running around picking up all the birds, and they were going to take them for study. You never heard another word about it. But that was not just all that happened on that date. You know, that was sort of like the beginning of mass deaths of fish, crabs, lobsters, I don't know all what else, and not only in the ocean, but in brooks, in lakes, and in ponds. I mean, that was like the starting point of that.
Right.
So that brings me to question if they're testing this 5G over there in the Netherlands.
Well, they were testing it, actually. The coinky dink was, is they were testing the 5G in the park area where the birds did fall out of the sky at the time that the birds did fall out of the sky, but there's nothing to see here, folks.
Mm. Right, but I'm saying, okay, so now similar incident happened 2012 here. So the question is, what happened to all those thousands and thousands of birds on 2012? What were they testing then? And exactly. Was this technology, in fact, you know, present at that time that nobody knew existed? And also, sis, remember we were talking about the 5G and you got that article where they were testing it in some mountainous area, remote area, and the cows were going ballistic and all that stuff. When was that?
Yeah, that was about a year ago, I think, and it was in the same area.
In the Netherlands?
Around, yeah, I think either there or maybe it was around Sweden or somewhere.
Around Sweden, I think. Remote area. Now, so how do they haul? So it's not these big towers. In other words, they have this technology, I guess, that they can just run it around on some trucks and stop it in an area and plop it up and start testing it, but the cows were going berserk. I don't recall fully what was going on with them, but I know the farmers were very concerned, and they were experiencing odd things, right?
Mm. Yeah, I think they had ended the testing sooner than they had expected to because of the issues that were being brought to the public.
Those issues. Well, yeah. So you have, that was over a year ago, maybe, and then you have, in 2012, you have this other event. Since then, there have been birds falling from the sky and whatever else going on with people's dealing with, physical, emotional stuff. But my question, I guess, is, well, so here you are, you're scientists and so on, and you do these tests, and birds fall out of the sky, cows go berserk, farmers go wacky-doodle, and you just keep moving forward with this technology. I'm just saying, where's the common sense?
I am going to move as far out into the country as I can possibly move. Because this stuff really scares me. I've just really started looking into 5G a little while ago, and I don't have the kind of brain that can retain all the information that I've looked at. But what I've looked at really, to me, just plays into the whole mind control aspect of what's being implemented on society and scrambling our brains. I mean, this stuff is not good at all. And
well,
I'm not an expert, Barb, but it only yeah. makes common sense to if you correlate the activities of these tests with these birds falling out of the sky, and then all of a sudden the birds for some reason stop falling out of the sky. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to put the two together, does it?
No, but I also want to tell you, I don't know if you know anything about this person, Linda Moulton Howe. If you're interested in knowing more about the 5G technology, it's pretty well set up in California, I think. That's where she is mostly looking at this stuff. I'm going to look for some links of hers, YouTube links, and I'll send them to you. She's really been studying this now for quite a while, right, Patty?
Yeah, she's done a lot of good work on it. She's very eclectic, I think, in a lot of her information to different areas of study.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's on to artificial intelligence, extraterrestrials. Life. Her stuff is really fascinating. And I'm looking for one here, particularly on the 5G. But once you get in touch with her one video, you can get a lot of other videos. So that's what's image. Yeah, so that's what's going on. But, you know, I think the mind control has been ramping up into a more intense technology. And that's where I would say 5G is now. But prior to that, there have been all types of mind control things that have been affecting us, wouldn't you say? What about HARP? I mean, HARP was, how long ago was that I first read about HARP? I think they're advanced it now. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, then we also couple into the equation the fact that nanotechnology now, it's incredible what they can do with nanotechnology. They can literally, I'm not 100% sure of this, but apparently they can even reduce a radio transmitter to a nano-sized particle. And if that's the case, they could be spraying them in the atmosphere, and we could be inhaling these things and have little receivers in our lungs that would react to frequencies. I mean, these guys are insane. And the thing that scares me about them the most is we don't know the technologies that they possess. We know that their technologies are ahead of what they allow us to understand. So who knows what kind of little techniques and toys and weapons they're going to unleash on us when the time is right. And this all plays into Morgellons disease. I've looked into that quite a bit. I was talking to a lady that really has been studying Morgellons now for about 3 or 4 years. And again, it ties into nanotechnology and what they're spraying in our skies and what they're putting into our food. And of course, anything sprayed in the sky is ending up in our food. So it seems to be an orchestrated all-out attack on the human brain is what I see.
Well, I'm just looking for Linda Moulton Howe, and I found this other link. I just popped it to you in the Skype chat. To the future, faster, 5G news. Okay, so here's what this is. Basically, this is 5G innovations. Meet tomorrow's pioneers, changing how people collaborate at work. Wait a second. How 5G can transform healthcare. Why a 5G network needs strong partners. I mean, this is a whole link, but it's Verizon. When machines learn how to talk shop, amazing things can happen. Let me get to this because they're blocking me with all these kinds
of... Yeah, because we remember on Facebook when the machines started talking to each other, right? The amazing thing happened where they developed their own language.
Exactly.
Well, anything they sell to us is a new convenience and a cool thing to do. It's just destructive. And you could look at anything they do is destructive to the human body and the human mind. I can't see anything that government's doing that's productive. Go ahead.
Right. And you know, like we were talking earlier today, we're looking at technology that wants to take us into a brave new world. You know, but we're also looking at the control and censorship of Orwell's 1984. Both of these supposed works of fiction are being proved out today in both the technology sector as well as the political spectrum. So we're heading to a melding of these two ideologies, and we don't fit in there other than to the proverbial work, consume, and then buy. Work, consume, buy. We have to realize that the direction that we're going is not going to be to our benefit, that we are going to be the ones subjected to all of the harm. And they're not really going to care because there's 7 billion of us, and they can make more, right? We will always make more for them, more workers. So they're not worried about our health aspects. They're not worried. In fact, it's better for them if we stay dependent on their system through the health care, through the need to be able to purchase food and lodging and things like this. We have to be dependent on them in order for them to control us. Well, they got that down pat. But the future that we're looking at is a really, really, really scary prospect because we think that we might be free now and we might be able to determine our own lives. But the fallacy that it is nothing compared to what it's going to be when they finally get what they want, you know?
Well, here's a little bit. So they're trying to make, of course, they try to do this. They push this new technology on us, and they present it as, oh, good, wonderful. So, you know, a lot of buzz about 5G for good reason. The technology holds the promise to change the way we live, work, and play. 5G is not an incremental improvement over 4G. By the way, there was 4G. It's a revolutionary new technology that requires a new approach in designing and deploying networks. And as 5G rolls out, you will see differences in the capabilities of various deployments. You know, so we're talking massive spectrum holdings, okay, particularly in the millimeter wave bands. This is the only spectrum available today with the bandwidth available to realize the maximum potential for capacity throughout and latency. End-to-end deep fiber resources, ability to deploy large numbers of small cells. 5G is only as good as the network it runs on, and Verizon, okay, it's Verizon, is the only company that brings all three pieces together for its customers through its ultra-wide band solutions. So it's the wave spectrum. This is the cornerstone enabling our 5G ultra-wide band network. You know, so they're testing this all over our country now, by the way.
And no surprise, George Soros has got his fingers in there like a dirty shirt. If you look at his connections and what he's invested in and how he's controlling, he's bought basically control of the RFID chip. He's basically bought control of 5G. And anything that George Soros touches, man, is not good. So, you know, there's something very, very nefarious going on here when he gets involved in anything to do with this kind of technology.
Well, as I said before, here it states that they've been laying the foundation for 5G at Verizon for years. So right. They have deployed a massive fiber network. And so this right. is, and they've already been doing this and they've already been testing it. It's already up.
Yeah, and I believe it's AT&T and Nokia. That's the name of the company own the patents on the RFID chip. Mm. And George Soros just bought major investment in both those companies. I believe it was 2 years ago. That he sees what's coming. He's part of it, of course, and he's all part of this plan. To me, man, it's just it's insanity. Whatever happened to just rotary dial telephones?
Yeah. Well, people,
like,
you know,
all this new technology, we can't even begin to keep up with it. A normal person can't even begin to keep up with what's going on. And of course, there's no long-term studies done on this. They just bring it in, implement it, and, hey, guys, this is what's going on. But boy, I'll tell you, people's brains are really going to get fried by this stuff, and that's what I see going on.
Well, here's a site of Linda Moulton-Howe. Naval officer describes high strangeness. Linda Moulton-Howe reveals the most provocative story about the 5G network, psychotronic weapons, brainwave entrapment, HARP, and so on. I'll pass that to you also. The thing is, you see, is people are told your life will be easy, all right? That's what they're told. It will make your life easier. Yeah. And people are too lazy, okay? So they want everything easy, immediate, and now. And this is the problem when you have people indoctrinated in that way. Give it to me right now. Give it to me easier. I don't want to have to, you know, do much in my life. I want it just come to easy for me. I'm just saying. So that's the problem we have. And they know how, you know, it's we're talking psychological warfare, really. This is how they deal with us. They know very well about human nature, you know.
Well, we can't forget either about the next step in the class warfare, which is coming and which China is right now testing out. And that's their social credit system. And they're in partnership with Google. And this is Orwellian. I mean, straight out of Orwell. Depending on how good of a citizen you are, how well you conform, depends on if you can travel, what type of housing you're allowed, what type of health. I mean, it's amazing that they're even putting this out. And then you have Western nations that are saying, hey, cool. That sounds like a good thing.
Like California now is trying to put forward a bill for basic income. And people are going, wow, what a great idea. I don't have to go to work. I sit here, man, collect money. Great. Life is great. They just don't see it, Patty. They just don't see it. But they'll play into it, of course. I mean, they play on people's weaknesses. And when you start telling people, Ontario tried to do the same thing. Catherine Wynne government in Ontario had already put a bill forward for a basic income in Ontario. And when Doug Ford got in, he shut that down right away because he sees what it means and what it means to society. One of the things that I see really inspiring right now is the rise of populist governments in Europe. And I was reading a link on it today, and we're seeing conservative groups now in countries getting 60 to 65% of the support. And I was looking at three. I don't have the link in front of me, but the rise in populism or nationalism, I'll call it, in Europe is very, very inspiring. But, of course, that's to be expected, seeing what we see going on in Europe right now.
Well,
unbelievable.
And then
people
the
are
big
at a point
picture,
where they're
Barry.
Well, it's all part
picture?
Of the big agenda. It's all part
the
of
pattern.
An agenda.
Yeah.
Of course, it's an agenda being played out. It's the destruction of Western culture, destruction of Western civilization to turn us into third country poop holes. And that's where we're going in Canada. I mean, my government here is completely out of control. If you asked 9 out of 10 people on the street now what they think of Justin Trudeau, 9 out of 10 of them will give you, can I give you a rope, you know? Or people are beyond frustrated in my country because we have agendas being rammed down our throats through a liberal majority government. We don't have the system of checks and balances that you do in the United States of America. So our government right now is basically running our country like a dictatorship. It's appalling to see it happen. But all we can do right now is don't want to say we have to support political systems, but until society gets to a point where they realize that all political systems will never work for the benefit of the people, sometimes we're forced to make a decision between the worst of two evils.
And then we get stuck with evil. I mean, that's the problem.
Of course,
that's our stumbling block since time began.
Of course, that's where I was getting to, Patty. Go ahead. You can elaborate on that thought, because that's where I was going with this.
Can I ask you a question first, Barry? I don't know where I read this or heard somebody say this, that Justin Trudeau has become a Muslim. Is that true?
He has been videoed and photographed in a mosque reciting, if I forget the name of the prayer, it's right on the tip of my tongue, so if I think about it for a second, but he has recited this prayer in front of two high-ranking imams. And when you do that, you are swearing your allegiance to Islam. He has been absolutely documented.
Just curious.
There's more proof out about that particular issue, Barb. But, of course, you will never, ever, ever see that exposed by our Canadian corporate media. What Justin Trudeau right now is doing, there has been nothing he has done in his 3 years of being in power that has benefited the Canadian people. And I challenge people to show me one thing that this government has done proactive to the country of Canada. And it's just not there. We have spent billions and billions of dollars to countries that are absolutely supporting radical Islamic movements. We are funneling money through an organization called International Islamic Relief, whose mother company is or organizations in Europe, and they have been directly funding money right to Hamas. So Canadian taxpayers' dollars are funding terrorists. There's a gentleman named Tom Quiggin, who is one of the top respected intelligent gentlemen in Canada. Just made a major, major inquiry with the RCMP to find out what's going on. We have politicians involved in funneling money to radical Islamic groups in Canada right now as we talk. And it's being brought out. How do you like that?
Well,
I'll shut up for a minute. But that's some of the things that are going on up here.
Well, I think this points to the whole what's going on in Europe, the wave of immigrants coming through there. And what's happening to those countries where people can't even walk out on the streets? Like in Germany, the women
can't walk the streets at night.
They can't walk the streets at night, and the police tell them, "Well, don't go out walking." Or if you're, a jogger or a walker and whatever, they say, "Well, don't go out jogging, and don't use the word." Let me see, what is it? You have to use the word Asian to describe,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
You cannot say it's an Islam or a. Whatever, you have to, they're now telling people, of course, politically correct descriptions of people,
Yeah, well, there's situations in Europe right now. In England, I read one article where a journalist was put in jail for simply speaking against Islam. Well, when our society gets to that point, we are beyond the point of a fascist state. We have a bill right now in front of Canadian Parliament called M103 put forward by a lady that has direct ties to the Muslim Brotherhood of the United States or the Muslim Brotherhood, organizations like CARE and a couple other Muslim organizations, wasn't born in Canada, came to Canada in 2001, and now has put forward a bill called M103 in front of our parliament, where I, as a Canadian citizen, if I simply voice my opinion about the cult of Islam, I am now liable to be put in jail. That's what's happening in Canada. That's just one of many, many barbaric pieces of legislation that's gone through our parliament through this dictatorship called the Liberal government, which is just an arm of the global corporate media. He is globalist to the core. He wants his seat in the United Nations. He's going to sign us on to the United Nations Mass Immigration Pact next month in December. And if he does that, then our country is finished. One thing good about Trump, he said, take that and deposit it somewhere where the sun don't shine. So we have two very, very varying and different opinions as far as this mass immigration pact. France has decided they're not going to sign on. Germany has decided they're not going to sign on. Austria, Belgium, Hungary, multiple European nations have snuffed their nose at this, and Trudeau is going to be the first one to sign this on.
Yeah, well, they have been trying to change their immigrant policy. Suddenly, they're making an about face, you know, turning
there is
about.
There is no policies in Canada anymore. Our immigration system's a shamble. It's a joke. You got people that have legally been trying to get in Canada through our legal immigration system for years, and they're still waiting. But we have people showing up at our border, walking into our country illegally, not going through any immigration, just claiming asylum to the United Nations Third World Agreement on asylum seekers. It's just a crock of crap. We know that, and we know how it's being done. But we have literally thousands of people coming into our country right now that aren't going through a proper vetting process, because there is no vetting process that can be brought to the public. How could you vet somebody coming from a country like Iran, Iraq, blah, 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 that has no database on their citizens, have no way of vetting these individuals, and they're walking into our country and they are killing Canadians? And we've seen multiple examples of that in the last year. What's it going to take? That's my question. Before Canadians go, hey, wait a second, this is completely messed up and it's got to come to a stop. Well, the good news is Canadians are starting to wake up to it, but where it's going, I'm not sure.
Well, we have, as you know, we have the same thing here, and the you know, carrying ons and screaming about open borders and the immigrants and the migrants or whatever they're called. You know, we have the same thing going on here, and I had a struggle originally with you know, with Trump's wall. Mm-hmm. Personally, I had a struggle with that because I'm thinking, gee, you know, we're a country of immigrants. That's typical what we always say, you know. We're good-hearted people, you know. We're loving, compassionate people. If these people, of course, were told that they're running from, you know, violence and war and so on and so forth, well, then how could we turn people away? Women, children, you know, whatever. And that's what we were first told. And so I was really appalled at the suggestion of a wall. We have somewhat of a wall there, but I guess this is a bigger, taller, grander wall. I had a struggle with that, you know. But then I, doing research, and what you have to do, you have to really dig into this on a deeper level to find out the truth about what is really going on, not just take things at face value. And I came to realize, well, wait a second, because I was looking at what was going on in Europe. I was looking at, you know, all this mess that they're changing, and the whole plan of the Islamization of America, which is really the Islamization of the world, their plan. And if you have to look at that, you have to go deeper into that. So I kind of like really feel strongly that Trump, in the way he has the ability to be 2 and 4 and 10 steps ahead of the deep state, we're going to call it the deep state, the cabal, the elite, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same. The Luciferians, the, you know, Satanists, Illuminati, whatever. So he's 2, 4, and 10 steps ahead of these people. He knows what's going on. And another whole rabbit hole, which we've gone down. Certain people in the intelligence agency and Donald Trump involved know what's going on? Like they knew the caravan in April, they knew this caravan, well, so-called caravan, was going to begin. How did they know that? Well, this is another rabbit hole, but I came to realize that, okay, Donald Trump knows something. And, of course, you have to do the research on the M13 groups, those gangs coming through, the sex trafficking coming through our borders, child sex trafficking. So you have to look at all this stuff. It's not easy, but this is reality. It's not just about people fleeing, paying $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 to a coyote somewhere in Ecuador over there, or and then paying this coyote to take them across the desert thousands of miles. And in some cases, they have raped the daughters of these women or these mothers or the mothers. And then sometimes they just leave them in the desert. But these people have money, $6,000 and $7,000, to pay these coyotes to take them through the desert and get into our country illegally. You know, there are legal ways to enter into a country. And let's face it, every country has their border. Every country has their laws to enter into their country. But we're not allowed to have that. We're just not, you know. So if you're against this wave of migrants coming that are called, you know, the caravan,
you're a bigot.
Yeah, the caravan.
What's wrong with you?
Of people
just
running.
Let these people in. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean.
They undermine our culture, undermine our society, attack and kill our citizens. Who cares?
Well, they're women. Look, they're women and children. But if you look at if you look at other videos, okay,
I don't see too many women and children.
No, you see.
I see military age men, hundreds of them, and we look at the videos of what the second caravan just did at the Mexican border. These are not nice people, and if you think they are, then you really aren't paying attention. I have nothing against immigration. Our countries were built on immigration, but people came to this country understanding that there wasn't a giant carrot there sitting waiting for them when they got in.
Well,
that everything was going to be
sweetly
paid.
for them, hasn't it?
Of course, they came here understanding that they had to work, that they had to assimilate to culture, they had to assimilate to the society if they were going to survive in our society. But that's completely been turned upside down with this socialist agenda that's being played out. People have to understand that if you don't have a border on a country, then you do not have a country. And I hope that Trump puts a stop. I don't like Trump. He's a puppet as far as I'm concerned. He's playing a role. It's a big role, a lot bigger than a lot of us can even begin to understand. But I still believe the guy's just playing a role. But outside of that, at this point, you have to put a stop to this. Because if you allow these people in, then thousands more are going to come. And these people, from what I can see, aren't women and children. They might put a few at the front, but if you really study the videos and study them extensively, you'll see that it's mostly military-age men, and they don't look like they're really nice guys to me, period.
Well, okay. I don't know where Patty is, but I guess I'm just going to go forward with this about Trump. You know, we've had our rabbit holes regarding Trump. We've had our questions. She's here. I know you're there, so pop in there.
Yeah, you're supposed to pipe in.
Anyway, so we have had our questions about Trump. Initially, I was like really appalled with what the mainstream media was showing us about Trump, and I found out later on that it's easy, you know, to take excerpts from a rally, for instance, of a person and then just show a portion of it the way you want to use it, right? We know that. Come on. Okay, but when you start looking at the whole piece, the whole picture, okay, which I have to do, that's just my nature. Like I say, I'm not going to just listen to some authority or mainstream media person there telling me this is how it is, this is factual. I need to find out for myself, and I think that's what we all need to do so that we can make a clear, you know, assessment of things. So I did find out, along with Patty, a lot of things that Trump is doing as far as taking down the deep state and the dirt and the pedophilia, child sex trafficking systems, systematic. That's one of the first, you know, documents that he signed when he got in December in 2017, you know, executive order, was to start this process of arresting pedophiles, sex traffickers, and so on and so forth across the board, shutting down these, I guess you'd say on the web where, you know, the porn sites and so on. And this is one of the things that he started to do. He did speak about the child sex trafficking, how horrible it was. And that's the first executive order that he signed. Now, I'd say that that's a darn good thing. He's the only president that has done that. And he also knows, I believe, that a lot of this sex trafficking and pedophilia runs through our government and all other systems, and I'm sure it's in throughout the world. I know it is. I know it's throughout the world, and this is a huge thing. And he is doing that. I'm going to speak for myself that I also feel that he is privy to certain information well in advance. And then again, the rabbit hole of how does he know this? But he is privy to what is going on, and he's doing certain things about it. But I also feel that he's part of a system. To me, it's almost, I'm going to say, well, one deep state taking down another deep state, but they're both in collusion. How does that sound?
You hit it right on the head. And that's my thoughts about Trump, too. You know, to the outside eye, you look at what he's doing, you look at all the numbers, whether they're fabricated or not, but the American economy seems to be rebounding. You're looking at unemployment numbers in the States, and they seem to be at all-time record lows. Whether this data is being manipulated or not remains to be seen, but on the outside, it looks like He's doing a ton of good things for America, and he is doing some good things on the outside appearance. But I'm always, always wary of politicians. They paid a price to get where they are, and there's always, always a deep underlying agenda. What it is with Trump, I'm not exactly sure, but I don't trust the man. I like some of the things he's done, but I don't trust him. How's that for an answer?
Well, I don't trust anybody these days. It's a sad thing to say, isn't it now? Here we are.
Well, how can you trust them? Because they all lie.
Well, it's a sad thing to say. And you have liars and dirty ones on both sides of the aisle, you see. And this is – so what they have us doing, basically, they've politicized us where we must stand on either one side of the aisle or not on the other and scream at each other. And that's their game. Instead of coming together in unity and figuring this out together and stopping this madness, because that's where they want us. You know, when you were divided, you have no power.
Well, a nation divided is a nation easy to conquer.
When you're undivided, you have no power, right? And you're easy to conquer. Your mind is squirrely. You're spinning. Mm-hmm. You have no critical thinking. I mean, this is a deliberate agenda. And where are they leading us ultimately? So we still look at the one world order, even though he's saying he will not be involved in that one world order. But then you have Agenda 2130, which is basically a similar, if not the same, just a different word, just a different title. But I think that ultimately they may very well be moving us toward that still, even though they're taking down the deep state who wanted to put the one world order up. So he's eliminating those people, but he's still putting up some rule, control, organization, and both Patty and I feel, and I'm going to stop talking now and let Patty come in, that it's going to be a military government because we have top military in his administration right now. And we've also seen that he's eliminating a lot of people in our government system. People are retiring. People are dropping out. People are getting arrested. There's 57,000 sealed indictments waiting to arrest across the board, across the country, and even in the rest of the world. Persons who are treasonous or involved in pedophilia or racketeer, whatever it is, he's doing all that. That's going to leave a lot of vacant seats. And they are going to be filled with military. Okay, now that's my rant for right now, and I'm done.
Patty, got to hear from you. Great point, Barb.
Well, I think the big picture is that what they've got us doing across the globe, doesn't matter what country you're in, is that they've got us fighting each other to see who's going to be the one to support the control that is controlling our lives. There is nothing that is being done in any government that is benefiting the people. It's benefiting the corporate system. It's benefiting the welfare system. It's benefiting the government system. But the people aren't seeing benefit because there's still chemtrails in the sky. There's still poison and toxins in the soil and the water. GMOs are still being put into the foods. The health system is still a system of managed disease so that they can make money. The educational system is still an indoctrinational system. Nothing has changed on the level of the people. And this is the thing is that me and Barb keep looking at is that, yes, he's taking down the deep state. And across in the governments, we're seeing moves toward this same thing. They want to take out the Fed. Great, super duper, you know. But where are the people in all of this? And where are our needs being met? Are they planning on implementing new technologies of renewable resource energy? No, they're not. You know, are they stepping away from the petrol? No, they're not. In fact, Trump wants to open up even more oil drilling and such in this country and I assume elsewhere. Nothing is being done for the people. It's all being done for these governments. So we got to look at that, and we have to see that, wait a minute. We're still being played, guys. It's still one big play, and we're the pawns. And as soon as we figure out that we don't have to be the pawns anymore, that we make the machine go, we're the ones who go to the factories and make the product so that we can consume and support the government, right?
That's destroying our planet.
That's destroying our planet. We're the ones who eat the, who produce the GMOs that, that go into the foods that we eat, so that we have to go to the doctor and be treated for different diseases and pay the doctor. It's all a system dependent on our being there to support it all the way. And as soon as we stop that, we can start making changes that really matter, because nothing that's happening right now in any government is an improvement, is going to help the people themselves.
Well, look at the good things, but if you got stocks in Big Pharma, they've reached their pinnacle of success where everybody in society is sick.
The developers of the EpiPen, or the ones who bought the patent on it, this is a life-saving thing for people who have these severe allergies. How many people suffered when the company purchased that patent and then raised the price 1,000%?
Yeah, which they
did.
So
what happened to the guy responsible for doing that? He's back in business. He's back doing business. Yeah.
We could get into Big Pharma, and we could get into a conversation, I know, between the three of us for hours just on the evilness of Big Pharma, but we don't want to get down that one today, because we'll get going on it. We'll never stop. But yeah, it's all part of an agenda. Everything we see right now on our planet is part of an agenda. You know,
are arguing about politics as if that's really going to cure anything.
It'll never cure anything. You know, I've said lots of times, Patty, you know, really when you think about it, you know, this political bullcrap that's going on in our world, well, it's been going on for years and years and years. And sure, civilizations have been put under rule. People have been ruled by dictators. We've seen atrocities played against the human race all through history. But there's always been a planet to support life. But yet in the last 100 years, just in the last 100 years, we have put ourselves in a situation now where we can actually say to ourselves that, you know, life isn't going to be living on this planet in the very, very near future. And to me, I think that should be the focus of everybody's attention. Every conversation at dinner tables right now should be actually on the most important thing. And that's the thing that supports life on this planet that we're killing. And there's so many answers and so many different ways that we can stop it. Yet we don't seem to be getting involved. And
that's the crazy thing, isn't it, Barry?
You know, it is,
that we have the solution.
We do. I'll let you talk. But the thing about it, let me make one more comment. I don't think a lot of people are really going to give a rat's butt until it actually really starts to impact their lives. And then they'll get off their butts and they'll say, yeah, we better do something about this. But you know what? And I know anybody that's really following this kind of stuff knows it's going to be too late at that point. We look at the projections for crop failures. I've been studying that lately, Patty. It's unbelievable, the projections for crop failures worldwide in the next 3 years. And if you look at the numbers, if that doesn't wake you up into the reality that, you know, we don't really, we got to find a mechanism that will bring people together universally against the hypocrisy and the madness of our government that is creating crimes against this country and this world for the last how many years, and it's basically going unchecked. These are crimes against humanity. We're looking at extinguishing life on the planet. I never thought in my life, you know, I honestly never thought in my life I'd be able to sit there and say that to myself, that I actually honestly believe right now that if we continue down the path we are, I don't know how many years, maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe 15, but we shouldn't be having this conversation at this point. But we are, because it's a reality. And I say to people, man, what is the most important thing in your life? And to me, it's like trying to fight these corporations that are destroying our planet. We got all the answers, Patty. We do, and I'm going to let you take it from there. But we have answers to every problem we have right now on the planet, period. But we need to embrace them. So how do we get them all together? My question.
That is the question, you know.
It is. That's $1 million question. Go ahead.
Yeah, because we all know, and we do have the solutions. The people have the solutions, have provided the solutions on their own. The governments haven't. Science hasn't. You know, the educational system hasn't. The people who have come with solutions that are doable, no matter where you are, they're the everyday people like us. They're the garage scientists, you know, the ones who go and piddle like Shaziz and things like that. People have developed systems that produce twice as much food in a small area. They have produced wind energy, different types of energy systems that take us away from being having to be on the system and the grid. The problem being is we don't support each other. We don't stand up and say, and it's always got to be about the money. And as long as it's about money, we're not ever going to get anywhere because, say somebody comes up with this system that will provide free energy for the household. Well, okay, this will free us from this antiquated petrol system that they have us locked into, that they're holding us hostage with. Mm-hmm. And if we could utilize this free energy system in society, then it would free us. But the only way that happens is if more than a few of us are able to utilize that energy. But because people want to make money, then not all of us are privy to that system. Not all of us are capable of getting off the grid. So here we go. We do have the solutions, but we're not stepping up to make a change. We can either decide, well, the money is more important than the future, or it's time that we stood together and started working together to get us out of this mess, because the government isn't going to do it for you. Science isn't going to do it for you. The people who are going to do it is going to be us, you know, and we got to come together and we got to use our brains. We got to be smart about this. You know, your money isn't going to help you when everything collapses and the system swallows you up.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to eat that new car, guys. I'll tell you.
Right. But we have a window of opportunity now. We have more knowledge and more ability and more solutions than we've ever, ever, ever had. But we keep playing the system game. You know, it's got to be about what's in it for me. And as long as we're in that situation, we're never going to get anywhere. We got to work together. We got to come together. Just saying.
I agree. I'm going to let Barbara talk here for a second. But, you know, really, honestly, if we could get the masses of the population really educated about what we know at this particular roundtable right now about the future of the planet, then maybe people would get involved. But we have such a large sector of our society still inside the matrix that still can flick the switch and there's electricity. They can go to the store and get food, and there's a little bit of money left out of their paychecks. It's all frivolous. It means nothing. All materials, it's frivolous. It absolutely means nothing. It will mean nothing in the future. Go ahead, Barb. Let you pipe in because I get going. I don't want to stop.
Well, that's okay. Am I muted? I guess I'm muted.
No, we're muted. Hearing you. We're hearing you.
No, I was just looking at this Muslim holy book, the Quran recitation that was popped up here, and Steve popped it in. And I just said, let me take a look at this. So it's a video, which I can't watch right now, but it's about the Quran, the holy book of Muslims, that gives the complete guidance to the whole mankind and jinns. Now, you know what jinns are. Mm-hmm. And here Canadian Prime Minister is listening to the recitation of Quran-e-Kareem recited in a very beautiful voice by a Muslim brother. Okay, so then below, you know the comments, right? Here's the first comment by somebody named Quick Draw McGraw. He says, "The only reason I am on this site is by mistake. I thought this was supposed to be George Strait singing Amarillo by Morning. Boy, was I wrong. Who is this loser? Oh, it's Justin Trudeau and friends. Please make him go away."
He's the joke of the world, Barb. He is.
So, go ahead. Apparently, he's in this listening to this, yeah, this Quran, this recitation of Quran-e-Kareem, who's got a beautiful voice and so on. But, you know, the Quran, so there's an argument in some arenas, of course, that the Quran is right up there with the Bible, you know, that is, it is significant, as important as the Bible, and it was also given to whomever wrote the Bibles by God or Creator, that the Quran is the same thing. Now, I tend to disagree with that. You know, we have this appearance of Muhammad, who was this, you know, started this religion and the Quran. I read about him a couple years ago. I was curious, all right? about this Quran and Sharia law and so on and so forth. And apparently he, Muhammad himself, in some of his writings, said that he believes that he is possessed by something evil. And these were his words. I'm quoting his words, paraphrasing it, but that's what he said. And this is the leader of basically the Sharia law, the one who wrote the Sharia law. He had a vision. Supposedly God came to him and he wrote all this down. But he himself said that he believes that he is possessed by something evil. And then I was watching this video. I don't know if I could ever find it again. I don't know if I ever want to find it again, but it was an imam talking about the Sharia law regarding marrying children, okay?
Yeah.
If you want to get sick to your stomach, search for that video. I'm not going to look for it again. I saw this a while back, and then I found it again just a couple of days ago, right? And so it's really revolting. I guess we're...
It is.
It's so revolting and so vile that, by the way, Muhammad himself married his wife when she was...
9 years old.
No, he consummated the marriage when she was six.
Sorry.
When she was six...
Yeah, and consummated it.
And consummated that marriage, and you know what that means, when she was nine. And that's just okay. And this guy talking in this video said he is the one that we follow. We follow his way. That's enough.
Really, Barb, all a person has to study is the connection of Islam to the Jesuits to the Catholic Church.
That's correct. It's all one and the same, isn't it?
Yeah, exact same thing. So if you study that and look at the connections, it'll really open your eyes to exactly why we see these massive amounts of pedophilia being exposed inside the Catholic Church and what exactly Catholicism is. But we don't have time to talk about that today. That's another show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I am not – here's the problem.
We're down to 5 minutes. We're down to 5 minutes here.
Yeah, and this is a problem because we have the religious mess, okay? The religious mind control system in all religions. To me, it's an organizing people, organized religion. It's called for a reason. And there's no room, basically, in my experience, in my world for that, because these people are organized. And it's very dark. You see this wave. It's not new. The waves of pedophilia arrests of these priests. It's nothing new. This is not new. This has been going on for centuries. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, hey, Barb, it's always a pleasure having you on. And thanks for joining us today. Hey. And Patty, I'd like to get a few words out of you before we close out this first hour.
Live, love, laugh, and stand strong, everybody. We need to come together. We are the ones. The onus is on us. It's not on your government. We got to make the change.
Well,
yeah, I agree. I mean, I feel that we have the power within us, and that power is the light, the sacredness of ourselves, and love and compassion. And they've basically worked very hard to remove that from us and pit us against each other.
And I think if there was ever a time in human history, this would be the time that we really must maybe think about some of the things that we talked about today and how it reflects in your life and exactly what you're doing and where you're going forward with yourself. Like I said, my biggest help right now in my life is my spiritual connection. And if I didn't have that, I think I'd actually go insane, because what I see going on in this world, if I take it all into context, would drive a normal person insane.
That's your foundation. So, we need that foundation. I agree.
You have to have a spiritual armor. Well, however you identify that, you must base your life on some kind of moral fiber, some kind of spiritual foundation. If you don't, I think you're just going to get drawn up in this cesspool we call the world, and it's on its way down, guys. We see evil manifesting itself in this planet in ways that I can't even begin to describe. All that being said, thank you, Patty and Barb, for joining me. I really enjoy conversations with you guys, and I look forward to it again next week. If you guys want to listen to a cool show, tune into Sajiz Radio on Sunday morning. For a show called The Knights of the Round Table.
Well, we have our show tomorrow, too, Patty and I.
Well, the Turtle and Crow show. Plug it in real quick, Barb, before I get off here.
Well, sis, what's the time? I know it's Eastern time is...
9 p.m. UK, 3 p.m. CST.
And 4 Eastern. Yeah. Turtle and Crow show. That's Patty and me.
Well, tune in, guys, and listen to these ladies talk, because they always, always have great information, and they are so far down the rabbit holes I think they're lost.
Well, it's on people. It's on People for People. So just
yeah,
saying.
Tomorrow. Yep. Okay. Well, listen, guys, we're going to close up this first hour. I'm going to go relieve my bladder. And coming up, Duke Willis, Mike Strahan, and a gentleman that's running for the People's Progressive Party or People's Party of Canada. I'm going to have a little bit of a political conversation about some of the stuff going on in Canada. So please stay tuned. And I'll be back in about 4 minutes. Well, welcome back to the second hour of the show, folks. Thanks for hanging around. I'm joined in the second hour here by Cody Pyant. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And Mike Strahan. I hope I pronounced that correctly. I'm getting a call right now from Duke. I don't know why he's calling me on this line, but Duke Willis is supposed to come in and join us, too, for a conversation about Canadian politics, some of the things that are going on. I'm going to pass it around here, guys. I know there's three of us in here, and I think we've got lots to say. I'm going to start with Cody and just give people a quick description about yourself and what you're doing, and you're running as candidate for the People's Party of Canada. You give people a quick info on your background there, Cody, and why you're involved.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm running as a candidate hopeful in Saskatoon University. That's my home riding here for the People's Party of Canada. I got involved because... I mean, I think this is needed in politics. I've never been this passionate about politics in my life. The People's Party came along after Maxime Bernier left the CPC party for the Conservatives. Conservatives in name only, as we say. And now the People's Party of Canada is all alone on the right. They're the only Conservative party. A lot of people consider them, including myself, as libertarian right. So it's all about personal freedom, individual responsibility, respect, and fairness.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show. We got Duke Willis in here, and Mike, I'm going to let you speak for a minute and give people a little bit of information about yourself and what you're up to.
You know, I'm a political activist. I've been in political activism for probably 30 years. I've always questioned governments and how they operate, and I, too, am a Maxime Bernier supporter. I like what Max is saying. There's a lot of people from every side of the fence, seemingly the slide that is happening. We hear a lot about split. Those things don't exist, but the slide is happening, and a lot of people are coming on track with Maxime Bernier's Canada.
Hmm. And we're also joined by Duke Willis. How are you doing today, Duke?
I'm good, Barry. I'm good. How's everybody doing today?
Well, really it's cold out here in BC. I don't know what the weather's doing in your guys' part of the country, but it's sure getting cold up here now. Got the wood stove going. Welcome to the show, Duke.
Thanks. Well, here in Niagara, it's typical Southern Ontario weather. If you don't like it, wait 5 minutes. It'll change. It's gray, cold, damp, not wet, not cold enough for snow, too cold for comfortable rain. Welcome to Niagara.
Well, boys, do we ever find ourselves in a bit of a pickle now in Canada? I mean, some of the things that have gone on lately here inside our Canadian government, if your blood's not boiling at this point, buddy, I don't know what you're watching, because I'm at a point right now where I feel like going to the window and screaming, I'm not going to take this shit anymore. I don't know if that'll work or not. But, yeah, you know, Maxime Bernier, I've always got, I have to be skeptical about any politician. I love what the man's saying. I love the platform that he's putting forward. I've listened to what he says, and I want to put 100% of my support behind this man, but I've always got a slight reservation that there is a game being played behind the scenes. And when I get to the point where I can say to myself that I absolutely believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that this guy's got the real intentions, the real concerns of Canadians, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do, well, that remains to be seen. But to say that I don't like his platform, I like what he's saying. But then we're involved in a situation in Canada where our system doesn't really allow for a voice of Canadians. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I like what he's saying. I do. I got to say that. What do you think, Cody?
Yeah, and that's just it. I think that's the pulse of what a lot of people are thinking right now. And people have thrown around populism, term populism. To me, populism just means that if that's needed in politics and a populist movement is happening, that's just indicative of a disconnection between the government and the people they claim to want to represent. I think that's what's happening right now in Canada. And disconnected from the people they claim to want to represent in the, I would say, the provincial political class in Quebec and the federal political entrenched political class in Ottawa. And then right now is a great example because it's Remembrance Day. We have our own prime minister talking about basically bashing Canadian sovereignty, saying that nationalist leaders, that and not nationalists in the extreme sense of nationalism, just in the sense of advocating for sovereign borders in their own country. I mean, that's exactly what veterans fought for in the World War. So it's just, yeah, it's definitely needed in politics, a return to working for the people, and that's what I see.
Mm-hmm. Mike, what do you think?
Well, you know what? I think a lot of things. one thing that I can think about right at this moment, I would have to agree with Cody. I think that, you know, we're in a real different mix right now. The world's really, really obstructive. And we have a division that is unlike ever before. So when we take into our country's hands in Canada who it is, it doesn't have a strong state, say, in the world and global politics to start with. But we don't need a government that's going to submit to establishment politics. And Maxime Bernier is not about establishment politics. Actually, quite the contrary. And there's other countries that are signing up for that, too, as we know, people that have, you know, heard what I've had to say as far as especially Duke. You know, currency change and the way that things are going to collapse with collapses of Europe and where Canada stands in that mix. There's a whole pile of things going on. But in what Cody was addressing, I believe to be true. We have a government here of a person that wants to step in for the people, which many other governments are doing around the world. This is like getting contagious. And that's good. That's something that the people get to vote on, at least have our best interests in mind. The way our system works and it changes. Yes, it is different, but it also takes leaders like Max to walk in and change those systems and make those applications on behalf of the people and push the agenda. And is it going to happen in the first month or week? No, of course not. Is it going to happen in the first half of his term? Possibly applications will be starting to hit the table, and that's fairly quick for Canada. But the bottom line is once he applies, he's able to act. And he's mentioned many times about our immigration and how we're overfilled and how we used to build the economy of the country and build it strong until we went to foreign investment to bring to our country. Now we've brought in an overabundance of migration that we've got to catch up an economy that is already flat and based on the world, not just based on our country, and a government that hasn't made a deal for us anywhere. So it's a very big task that he's got to bring on. Andrew Scheer is the same as the Liberal government. He's establishment politics. He's in favor of the dairy cartel. The dairy cartel's turned into the everything cartel. Supply management has turned into anything you purchase and 300% markup on Canada. And that's ridiculous. That's an impossible trade agreement. It doesn't hold a dollar value. We're close to third world country. We're investing in wrong places for wrong things in the wrong way. And Max has experience in that. He has a bit of more life knowledge on the game as Trudeau or Scheer or the Green Party or anything of that. As far as the provinces, I would have to agree. I think Alberta right now's fight is that not with a Jason Guéney government, but maybe a Derek Fildebrandt government that's fighting on fabricating a solution like Quebec to make Alberta able to do what it wants with its oil and make some change. And sell our oil, and if Ottawa maintains buying Saudi oil at any cost, we still need to sell our oil, and we still need to put Alberta back to work, and Alberta's not at work. And I think that we, of any province in the country, have been hit harder than anything. Our downtown buildings in Calgary that are 60 and 80 and now, you know, 100 stories have an average of one floor filled in our offices. We're a ghost town. And the effects of it have to change. Max was in Calgary the other night, had an amazing response from Albertans. We're on track with making it happen with Quebec. I always have said that until Quebec speaks, Canada can't listen. And they went conservative on a very, very wide margin that they never had a chance. And the party changed its way and went after something, and the Quebec people got out and spoke. And they spoke it into a conservative arrangement, and Alberta needs to do the same. So we're on that rally, and our time's come right around the federal time, so it's very close. And it makes big decisions on what's going to happen on the groundwork for Ottawa. So we're excited at this point. There's some new people speaking about certain things in Alberta, and if Fildebrandt can't do it on the way that we're speaking, there could be announcements in the near future on things like that. So we're not sure yet, but there possibly could be. But it would certainly be involved with the favor the People's Party of Canada, and representation here in Alberta. That would be probably our ultimate goal, to make things go that way.
Hmm. Okay, thanks. Hey, Duke, what do you think?
none of you are going to like. None of you are going to like what I have to say. Well, first of all, keep in mind, I don't deal with multitudes of minutiae details the way Mike looks at this aspect and that aspect and this aspect. I prefer to take that multifaceted flower vase and flatten it out into a big flat pane of glass and look right at it for what it is, the bottom line. And the bottom line is Maxime Bernier is and has been a professional politician for over two decades. Maxime Bernier is and has been a member of the Privy Council. Like all Canadian politicians, Maxime Bernier swore allegiance to a foreign monarch whose authority in this country ended in 1901 with the death of Queen Victoria. When Mr. Bernier renounces his oath to a foreign monarch and pledges allegiance to the people and the country of Canada, I will support the man.
Hmm. Cody, what do you think of that comment?
That's interesting. I mean, in 1982, they were talking about decoupling the crown, and that kind of was more symbolic sovereignty.
No, sir. I am talking about the 1893 British Statutes, Laws, Revisions Act that released all the dominions, British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, all 10 provinces, which are dominions or were dominions, along with Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, what was once called the British West Indies, countries like Haiti, Trinidad, Tobago. They were all part of the British West Indies. They were dominions or colonies. They were released when Queen Victoria died in 1901.
And David, just to finish my thought there, Canada, yeah, I think I'd agree with you that Canada isn't technically a sovereign country, and that's kind of something a lot of people brought up. But
actually, we are a sovereign country that has never claimed its sovereign right as a free nation.
So I think I can see eye to eye with you that on. I would love if Canada claimed their sovereignty and became that became common.
Well,
in the country.
Under the Statutes, Law, Revisions Act, and the way our country was first created in 1865 before Confederation, all 10 provinces were independent dominions. Under the Statutes, Law, Revisions Act, all 10 of those provinces get released from the status as a British Commonwealth or Dominion, and under international law, they automatically become 10 independent countries. Therefore, the name Canada only applies to what's left of the country after you remove those 10 provinces, leaving the Yukon, the Northwest Territories, and none of it as Canada.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mike, what do you think of that? Or Cody, I'll let you respond to that. Because you know what, I'll be quite honest, I'm not up on Canadian history as much as Duke is.
I am very, very up on what Duke is speaking about. And we realize, yes, Duke, that there were statutes made. And we realized in 1931 there was an amendment to the British North American Act. We know that. Yes, we do. We get it. Yes, in favor of everything you said, of course, but I think that in the primary, we're not going to make that before a next election of leadership, and we have to be in reality, and we don't know that we couldn't, as a people, make the power of that suggestion to Maxime Bernier and the possibilities of it. It's a big deal. And
yeah, it is. It's the difference. Here's the big deal and the big difference. Okay.
Let me finish.
Yeah.
And I'm not in disagreement with you. I'm in 100% disagreement with you. And it's part of the statute that we're talking about in Alberta to make a stronger Alberta, exactly what you've just spoken about, and turn it back to a country of provinces that seems to be gaining powers to force government's hands. Max's idealism is to drop a smaller government, which they all promise but never do. Max is a lifetime politician. Max is a part of the things that you said they were. But, you know, as we're going to be comparisons about what is and what if and when they were, that is what built the strength of their parliamentary experience that we need, that we very need, to make those changes when they were involved in such stringent moves as far as Canada's concerned. So, having said that, many leaders have changed their tune of being parts of parties around the world and are leading a different charge because, you know, the opposites and possibly our allies and allies that defend themselves from other countries' allies that are becoming allies that at one time wouldn't deal with each other. We spoke about this a couple of years ago on how countries will come together because of the threats that will be coming upon the world, not specifically Canada, not specifically Western culture, every culture, in the stabs of, you know, towards Barry's last show of national security and nothing to do with political or religion. And as soon as we step across that, maybe we can make our changes. But at the end of the day, it is what it is as far as getting control of certain countries that are making this change. And Duke, we're going to go back and we're going to talk about currency change because we all know that's going to fail soon. We both know this. Mm-hmm. So that's going to put a lot of stress on the big superpower companies, countries. And the superpower countries want this collapse. It shows a bankruptcy of a currency and a rebuild of a new currency so that special interests don't hold securities in our dollar and our and control in our countries. This is something that the elite is very afraid of because if this happens, they're not allowed to purchase in and they lose what they had in their investment in certain countries. We do build back a box. We do return saying, sorry about your investment. The dollar failed. This is a plus. Every time we see massive market hikes, it's always major to a collapse. That's been repetitious. That's been going on since the start of the stock market. And we're starting to see that collapse now. And as the euro dollar collapses, big changes are going to happen. Canada's going to be involved in that. I think that Max Bernier is the most experienced to deal with those type of factors right at this point in time, but still continuing to fight with the people. He was here in Alberta, and man, he had a big turnout, and the response is, like, amazing. We agree with Max. We need our province working. He's willing to help us get together. I've spoken to them in Quebec, and they're wanting to join with Alberta. And we started that movement, you know, a year and a half ago, that we got to start to take control in the government and get our provinces working to force the hand of the federal government. I think this is a good start because we have a candidate in our federal government that's going to allow the provinces and wants the provinces to succeed so we can make the changes that we make. I think that's a fair assessment to allow them the chance.
Mm. On Max's defense, I did have a conversation with Max one day. We talked for at least a half an hour, but in the course of the conversation, I got on to environmental issues and how many solutions to these environmental issues are at our fingertips right now and need to be embraced. And he was very, very receptive to the ideas, agreed with me on environmental issues that I find very pressing. And that's the one thing about this gentleman that I felt that he was very responsive to, was total new industries in Canada that will, of course, destroy one industry, but replace it with an industry that isn't going to impact our world. And that, to me, is something that I would really like to see governments embrace. If a government's coming in, if they're susceptible to new and alternative ways of generating power, we have technology now that can take carbon out of the air, add a little bit of water to it, and make a fuel that is absolutely non-polluting, non-interfering with our environment in any safe form. There's a company now in Squamish, British Columbia that has three prototypes running right now. It's producing one of the best fuels in the world simply by taking carbon out of our atmosphere and adding a little bit of water to it. And they just secured a contract with Indonesia for seven of these generators to be set up in Indonesia. Now, why is the Indonesian government jumping on this? Because they don't have the restrictions in place in Canada where our government is controlled by the petrol dollar. But if a government is willing, if a government, to my, in my world, if a man is willing to listen to new solutions to major problems that we are going to see coming forward And to me, I've said this many times in my thought process that, you know, nations are going to rise, nations are going to fall, governments are going to come, and governments are going to go. It's been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. And sure, we're facing some real evils inside our government right now. But what's been perpetrated on our planet, to me, is an international crime that we all must address in the near future, or we're not going to have a planet to live on. So if a government's witty and ready to embrace some of the ideas that are out there right now that can really make a difference. I talk about cannabis a lot on my shows. Unbelievable what it can do to our environment and to our society. It just goes on and on and on. Yet government completely turns a blind eye to all these incredible solutions. If the government's willing to embrace that, boy, I'll tell you, they'd have my support, my friend. Go ahead. I don't want to get into a cannabis rant either because I'll go for an hour. I'll shut up.
Can I make a, if you don't mind, I know it's Cody's turn. And Cody, please excuse me. I'll give you the extra time because I really want to hear what you have to say. But I just want to talk about what Barry is talking about at this moment. Barry knows I'm very, very informed on what that is, Barry, and some other factors that are going on with our planet this time. And yes, these things really need to be addressed because, you know, we have the opportunity to change what's going on instead of falling to the rut of finishing it off. And if we continue to do what we're doing in many regards, the way we are with this planet, the planet won't be able to sustain itself. And it's starting to show those signs. So we have to be very, very up on that. Let's keep in mind again that Canada worldwide on every aspect, Vancouver, I'm not sure if they won first place, but second place for sure for the greenest city in the world, bar none. Our oil sector is the cleanest oil sector of clean burn in Alberta of anywhere in the world. We get criticized by our government that we're the embarrassing cousin to the U.S. When we're the top, we're the leaders in the world. We have water systems that do many multifacets greater than any other water system in the world, and it's not generated for the same reasons. We do have all of this in place, and we need to enhance and embrace it. One thing that we do know is that, of course, we have to stop taking things out of the planet. It's not liberal. It's not NDP. It's not conservative. It's about the planet. And we're at the end of an ice age, and usually that's the start of one, and volcanoes are doing things. But anyway, yes, I do agree that Max is very in favor of that he sees exactly what we do need to keep doing as we have been doing in Canada to embrace the world. So he challenges the Paris Accord. He challenges UN agreements. He's challenging the things that sit us globally in a position where we can be with other countries that are fighting back with the same agenda outside the political agenda of possibly a threat of destruction, if we will, if that's politically correct. And that stems over to Duke's side, because Duke will defend himself to you. And I admire that about Duke. We sometimes disagree and we'll chomp at each other, but we're very good friends. And that's what makes us very good friends. And I consider him one of my top dogs on my list at all times. Actually, personally, I'll phone him and say, Duke, what do you think about this? And we've done that before. And we are good friends. I respect Duke Willis every step of the way.
Cody, I want to hear
Thank
from you,
Mike.
Yes, sir.
And then I'll let Duke go. Cody first, then Duke.
Okay, I'll try to be concise here. I tend to go off on tangents sometimes. That's a lot to unpack. There's opened up a whole bunch of things there. I think Andrew Scheer and Trudeau are the same in the sense that they support the Paris Accord and they have the kind of a similar stance on climate change. I think there's kind of a bit of a misconception about Max and Bernie. I've been in agreement with what people have been saying so far about him in terms of the climate. He's against the carbon tax, as he's not against climate change, though. He senses the problem. He knows the problem that needs solutions. But I think I can't speak for him, but I guess I can speak for myself. I don't see the solution being Catherine McKenna and the Liberal solution, bringing in a carbon tax. We've heard the Liberals talk ad nauseum about how they think the government's creating economic growth, the government's going to find solutions. But I think where Maxim and the PPC differ on that is that it's industry. It's free markets and it's industry that will innovate solutions to the extent that the government will get out of their way and allow them to innovate those solutions to a cleaner economy. I agree completely that Canada is a leader in clean energy or clean petroleum energy, let's say, in the energy sands or oil sands and elsewhere. But yeah, our fossil fuels are amongst the cleanest anywhere on Earth. And then this carbon tax, what it's doing is forcing Canadians to pay for the economic production in other countries indirectly, because on the world stage in terms of pollution, Canada is just a blip. It's not much damage at all in Canada in terms of world pollution. And so we're basically forcing the government's forcing people to pay a carbon tax to try to clean up world pollution. And all that does is provides incentives to these other countries that are polluting more. So it opens up a bit of the market for them. So they just take that as an opportunity to produce even more in their economy in a less clean economy than Canada's. So I really believe strongly that all these innovations to a cleaner economy happen in the private sector and industry. What Barry was mentioning there, I looked into that carbon technology. That's one example, and that's innovation in the economy that the government isn't controlling. That's happening as incentives in the economy. I'll try to wrap this up, but I do believe that. And yeah, I think Maxime Bernier isn't, he does care about the environment. He just is coming at it from a completely different angle than the Liberals are, and I would say one that's way more beneficial for Canada's future and the future of our clean economy.
Can I just add to that, Cody?
Okay, Mike, and then we'll let Duke talk.
And I will not be long. And I agree with that 100%. And Max is, yes, we need to get investment back in our country. We have no deals. We have no investors. People are leaving. They continue to leave. Our cities are empty. We've got to restructure. And our current government's not doing that. Max is going to wholeheartedly do that. He's not looking for, again, establishment politics. He's looking for investors to come into the country to grow this country. We're at a big, big deficit. We're having troubles. And I like his direction. Sorry, Duke, carry on.
Oh, that's okay, Mike. I don't mind waiting. I've had a question.
I just think Cody was well spoken on that, and yes, I do agree. But we've got to get infrastructure built, as I said earlier, that we have such immigration here that we can't sustain it. So we've got to now build an economy around it. It's difficult when you've got no investor, and it's hard to build something and continue to build it with no security. It just doesn't work that way. And Duke, you know financially, from the financial side of your life, that's just not attainable unless we can make some
changes. Yeah. You can't keep bleeding. It doesn't work.
Exactly.
So
go ahead, Duke.
Okay. So my question is to Cody. And Cody, first of all, I want, because these other guys, they know me. I'm the devil's advocate. I am a firm believer that politicians got us into the mess that we're in, and I don't for one believe that any politicians have the guts to say, yeah, we screwed up, but here's how we're going to fix it. I none of them have confessed to saying, yeah, we made this problem. Anyhow, that's neither here nor there. My question to you, are a candidate for the PPC.
Hopeful. So just to clarify, it's candidate hopeful. No candidates are going to be announced until January, February. So technically, I'm not the candidate yet.
Is it safe to assume that you have the support of the party to be a candidate?
Well, each EDA is going to nominate the candidate. I would say I'm the front runner. I've the support of members within the riding.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's good enough. That's enough. At least people who are listening can say, okay, he's not just Cody sitting in his living room. He's actually gone through the process and talked to people within the party, and he's moving forward in the process. So potentially you are going to be addressing candidates. My question, therefore, is to you directly as a, lack of better terms, candidate in this upcoming election, whereas there are no federal or provincial laws, mandates, or requirements for elected members of provincial and or federal governments to seek the opinion and guidance of their constituents, confirm the acceptance or denial of issues from their constituents. There is no legal obligation to hold a politician accountable. Would you, as a candidate for the PPC, support introduction and implementation of legislation that would require members of federal and provincial governments to take issues to their constituents and gain the people's approval or lack of approval?
Okay, great question.
Great question.
I think that is definitely an important issue. I would say I'd have to read the bill that would this is how I'd answer the question. is the PPC, I think, sees that as a problem too. If the PPC is the only party, for example, that will allow free votes on issues. And one thing I love about the PPC is the fact that we have this centralized kingdom building in Ottawa for these parties. The CPC, Andrew Scheer's CPC party, basically he's more or less telling the candidates that they're not even allowed to debate in their ridings during the election. And I think that's awful. And it just goes to show you like this, the level of centralization where the MPs and their constituencies in all 338 ridings are so disconnected from the people that they claim to want to represent. And the PPC's part of the platform is decentralizing to provincial jurisdiction, and that also applies to decentralizing so that each MP in their riding is able to represent their riding in the best way possible to their constituents.
Just to clarify, Cody, okay. I'm not talking about being able to. I am talking about a law that
Okay, Cody, can I step in and just back you a bit for just for a minute what you've just said? Duke, that's exactly what he's saying. Is that, you know, look, if we take the provinces and we get our accountability, we can hold people accountable based on the they're closing off.
We don't have the legal grounds as
I understand. Let me finish.
We gotta stop crossing over each other.
That is something that I fully agree with, is that we need to change that. The government should be held accountable when they pass certain boundaries. We need to also change contracts with our policing to the federal governments and how they dictate policing, because it changes by the moment. Yes, Duke, listen, I agree with you on this, and I hope you agree with me. I'm solution-based, and you're the devil's advocate, and I always try to come up with solution to what you're saying. I believe that with the provinces and the movement that's going on in Canada within our system, I believe the provinces coming together with the governments and the ones that we're voting in and the ones we're trying to break through on, even if it's their first year running, it's all based on what the balance of the country is saying. I think that Doug Ford will eventually follow Max because he's in the sausage party, I call it. And the sausage party is an establishment politics that doesn't want to be held accountable. We talked to Jason Kenney about electoral reform, and he was in on it, and he campaigned with it. We have him on video talking about it, and he's completely gone against that because he does not want to be held accountable. They do not want the voice of the people to be heard. Again, Max Bernier, it doesn't matter what it was to you. Look, they all say his father was this, his brother was that. In any politics, we pick apart what people are saying in our news instead of coming to solutions based on those grievances. At the end of the day, we have to get to solutions. And the slide that's happening in Canada from Liberals, Conservatives, and NDPers that follow a party that they don't really like, but they like something about it. But when a new government comes in that applies to a lot of the things that make Canada secure, and I know you argue with this with me a little bit, Duke, but at the end of the day, we can make a difference as a country to get centralized, because we have no, we say that there's no center. It's impossible. It's alt left, alt right. Oh my God is what it is. And it's only in a small group of Canadians. In the larger scale of Canadians, we want to see Maxim Bernier's Canada. I believe that the provinces, based on what you're saying, Duke, and I would be one that would advocate to let you spearhead that because you're so passionate about it, that yes, the government has to go back to 1931 and the British North American Act. We need to change it. We need to change it where it was supposed to be a referendum, and it wasn't. And we have amendments like that on every single thing the way this country runs. And we would not be here in a system that we work in no matter what we have in Canada, it fails. It does not work. So because it does not work, it's a major change, but it's not that major. And I agree with your opinion on that, Duke. We can change it quickly as long as everybody is forced to go on suit to change it. We can grab extensions, and the world, yes, is ever so changing. And I, you know me on my global stuff, I'm watching political and military. And space and all those things that we follow, it gets very complicated on how the world's going to go. Is there going to be different orders around the world with allies? Absolutely. There's going to be some new agreements. Is it a new world order? No, it's not. And we're going to have a government that will fight. I think Max is the most experienced to go up at the Globe. I think he's the only one in Canada that can go to a G20 summit and have some input on what's stated based on Canada and the balance of the world. I believe he's probably one of the first prime ministers since Trudeau that would be able to actually speak at one. So, exactly.
Without a teleprompter?
So, you know, these are real issues. Duke's got a historian like no other, and I appreciate Duke. I love him, actually, when he talks about this thing, because he gets in depth. And I even phone him and say, Duke, I forget. What happened? And you know he's correct when he just starts speaking about it and tells you what it's about. You don't have to Google anything because it's what it is. So you can take it to the bank. And yes, in those spirits, Duke, of course we come to it. Of course we would. It's exactly what needs to change. We spoke about it a couple of years ago quickly. You speak about these things in depth. I'm glad you do, because Canadians need to know these things. And I think that a Maxime Bernier is willing to take advice on any change. I've spoken to Montreal and or Gatineau and had some in-depth conversations with their people. And I'll fire off some emails quickly to them. And I think that we can all start to make a change. But, you know, like anywhere, we got to get representation in the provinces, and we got to wrap our heads around the People's Party of Canada and representation like any other party in every province. And I think as soon as we get that and strong leaders that work for their provinces to have a clean economy rebuild is what I call it for Canada as a business. And I've always looked at it as that, and we just have people that don't know how to do business. They're all stuck up in political shit, and we only get the best of what runs for political. We don't get the best of what our companies are, and the major over $40 million companies in Alberta that I'm connected to that I could bring on track with us to help us get through that, because they're in jeopardy of bankruptcy. And this is thousands of jobs, and we need to get on it. And they agree. They agree. And I want to put that with the People's Party, and I want to get the people that are holding people employed in this province in major ways back on track so they can afford to build. And they're the ones that held in the game to keep people employed, and they suffered for it, and they're ready to go. They're ready to take on the challenge. I think that with a PPC party, we're telling people provincially and in our face that we got to really work hard together. In order for the government to get a People's Party, we as the people got to work with the People's Party, and we got to work hard. And we got to bring things together, and we got to have a voice and a strength that stands behind us in every province. And we have to get investment back in a party that needs to get an investment back in Canada. And then we can make the changes in 1931, Duke. And I'd be the first guy to get you on any media show I could. I'd actually go to work and do that specifically so that you could get your voice and lead that, because you're very smart and you're a really good guy. And I understand your devil's advocate questions. And yes, we can change it. But right now, we have some major, major effects in front of us. But that should be very part of one of them that I would push forward from Alberta to get changed. And I would hope that the rest of the provinces of Canada would do the same.
Well, one of the things that impressed me about Max is I didn't really know about this moment from him, is that in my course of conversation, he allowed me to talk about Canada's building products and what that could do to our society and the industries that would pop up, the thousands of lives that would be saved, the thousands of people that are suffering from the effects of black mold and white mold in our environment. It absolutely knocked him right off his chair that he replied to me that he really couldn't believe some of the things that I was telling him. And at this point in his life, he really hadn't looked into it. So maybe I lit a little spark under his butt, because literally, guys, cannabis, the one thing that I have got passionately involved in the last 3-4 years of my life is cannabis. Not for sitting out behind A&W and smoking a joint and getting a little buzz on. It's the industrial use of cannabis. It's just a big an issue, if not bigger, in my world as the medical aspects of cannabis. There's thousands of peer-reviewed studies out now stating the medical benefits of cannabis, the CBDs and the CBLs, and how cannabinoids in our body and how the receptors work, and the endocannabinoid signaling system is just starting to be studied. But the industrial use of cannabis could literally turn our world upside down. And it could do it in a generation if we embrace it. And at this point in human history, any government that's willing to really sit down and look at what's going to be 20 years down the road from now, not a year or two, some government that would actually look with a little bit of foresight into exactly what's going on in the planet and is willing to make monumental changes to avoid the deficits and what we see coming and maybe make a change, boy, I'll tell you, they would get my support in 1,000,000%, because cannabis can literally save the world. And I, you know, that sounds corny, but it's not. If we implemented it widespread in society, let me just finish my thought, in widespread implementation of the plant, and I could talk about it for hours, what we can do with it, then we might have a chance in saving our environment and our planet. And to me, that's kind of like a big issue. Go ahead.
Barry, can I just say one thing quick? Sorry, guys. I like to cut sometimes, but sometimes I got to think quick. You know what? I love you. 100% what you just said. And as we move forward, I want to find out what the differences are for people that are going to make the cookies and the drinks that are on the shelf from Coca-Cola or Pepsi or any of those, ulterior things that are going to come up from it. It's a massive, massive play. It's so quiet and so unheard, but it's all happening around us. It's happening. And it's, you know, this is, again, this is like Canada can lead in that as well because of and probably Max would agree with us because in supply chain, in the supply management business, if we're going to make those types of changes, we should be all allowed independently to know the workings of what's going on with the establishment. And we would like to probably report that to the people. That's a government holding accountability and saying, hey, look, this is what's happening, man. And you can all invest as a private. Don't let the big guys get it. Go out there and invest like crazy. Buy a portion of Canada. Invest in your country.
Perfect. Cody, that's one of the reasons I'm glad Cody joined this conversation today, because he's a young man compared to me. I'm an older fart. I'm like up in my 60s, 64 now. And he's just, what, I believe you're 29. But, you know, if having this conversation today gave him a few thoughts about what we can look at going forward, then it's been a great show, because the things I talk about, like I said, I really look at what is coming to the planet in the next 5, 10, 15 years. I know right now the planet's experiencing the biggest die-off of mammals that we've ever experienced in our human history on this planet. We are seeing the oceans absolutely die in front of our eyes. And I say to people, really, what are we doing right now to stem that, to stop it? There's so many things we could do, but they have to be brought in. And sure, some industries are going to die. The corporate dollar, the petrol dollar is going to take a kick in the butt. But it's time in human history that it does, because we have all the answers to the problems. But I say to people, buddy, if we don't really start looking at this and go, hey, what is going to be 10 years down the road? And I haven't even got into a conversation about nuclear, which is one of my biggest. One thing that drives me absolutely insane on the planet Earth. We don't have enough time here to talk about nuclear, but we talk about all these things that we're doing to destroy ourselves, and it can all be turned around. And it needs to be turned around, because the window of opportunity, it's still there right now for us. The planet is an incredibly resilient mechanism, but it's going to get to a tipping point. We have this thing called the food chain. That food chain is under massive attack. You keep taking pieces out, eventually one day it's going to collapse. And that time is coming soon. We got to stem that.
Spraying it, you can't grow it. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's all of it.
Absolutely.
Right?
So where's our priorities, guys? Where should our priorities in all our industry right now? The industries that would pop up if we went into renewables and started promoting cannabis and started promoting cannabis building products, we wouldn't have people dying in house fires. We wouldn't have people getting sick from black mold, which is one of the biggest health threats in our society. Anytime you put two pieces of wood together and put water in there, you got black mold. You don't see it. It's there. And it's causing respiratory disease. Now it's the fourth biggest killer of people in the United States. Wake up. And we can change it all.
Yes, Barry.
Anyways, that's my rant for the day. And I would love to sit down with the People's Party of Canada, with their head environmentalist, and have a four-hour think tank and put some ideas in front of these guys. And if they embrace it, boy, I'll tell you, they get very
live. Let's do that live. I'd love to be a part of it. I'd love to have Cody on for that, too. Cody, you should be a part of that. And I want to ask the question to Cody, too, if I may. Cody, I'm 58. I've been political for many years, and I'm watching politics as it goes globally. And I'm watching Canada, and its divisive efforts to change certain things. If I could be politically correct there, I think everybody understands what we're talking about without threatening any or making a mockery of anyone. I believe that our cultured country has the right, a way to stand up, that there's enough right wing of every culture in this country that agree with free speech. They agree with, freedom, and they're willing to step up and fight. The biggest thing from that is, is that Canada can change directions on inventories. And I'm going to make this public here, this statement, because I've called it forever. If we stood up as a cultured country, and Duke, I know what you're going to say, and we built our country on what we've been made successful and been the number one in the world of putting culturism together and everybody getting along and not having those religious fights because we have the freedom of religion and we have the freedom of speech. And it's worked actually quite well. Do we all love each other? Well, we don't know. We haven't got to know each other yet. That's the next stage. And in the next stage, though, if we stood up, just imagine our trade. Canada could live with its trade deals around the world from the masses of populations that we have from countries here in our migration of our country, that we could actually sell trade and make trillions of dollars and not touch anything because we'd have a better trade deal than anybody else in the world. It has a lot to speak for itself. When cultures say you're a cultured society, then stand together as a cultured society. We need to sell that deal. And the cultures agree. The minority cultures all agree that there's a right wing to everybody. And we should be standing together to fight our rights to central and thoughts to some liberal agendas and make things, as my friend Tim Menelchuk, an old live partner would say, for all Canadians. And we need to not be liberal NDP. We just need to be what's right. And what has to do with morals and what's gotten out of hand and why and how we can just stop all of that. And that has to do with certain communities that have certain genders and all the things that it's turned into. But at the end of the day, I believe that Canada has a strength as cultures to stand together for one common goal, to make sure we have free speech and we can do business the way we do and bring business back to Canada. I think that that's an easy sale. And I think if we think on those terms, I think that we can have relations that we thought we maybe didn't have. And maybe as far as the culture goes and when we combine it, we can learn a lot about making and saving money and examples, again, back towards a little bit of family, if that's even possible in this world today. But, you know, at least leaning the right way for
good
the.
Thoughts.
Yeah,
thoughts.
That's it.
We're down to the last. This hour's gone by. I knew it would go by really quick, but we're down to about 9 minutes of time here, guys. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass around the table and get you guys to add a few thoughts before we close out the show today. Maybe I'll start with Cody there. Thanks for joining us today, my friend, and been a pleasure hearing you talk.
Thanks for having me.
We need more people like you, buddy. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. And we're all Canadians, and I think at the end of the day, that's right. We're all Canadians, and we need to focus on our strengths and draw upon all of our strengths as Canadians to make our economy stronger and culture stronger instead of supporting a government that just wants to divide people and pander to people to buy votes because it's more effective to buy votes that way to be divisive and divide people. And, I mean, I love everyone in Canada and our culture here. It's what's made us a strong country. So, and with the cannabis, the cannabis opens up the whole new thing, but with the People's Party of Canada, they believe in being legal. They don't, I mean, it's a waste of taxpayer revenue to be chasing petty crimes for possession of marijuana. And there's like Barry's talking about these industrial uses, hemp-treat, that's just one, but, and all the benefit, health benefits and economic benefits of hemp and cannabis. So the PPC sees it as instead of, just lobbyists lobbying and then Trudeau giving out, licenses just to the close lobbyist friends in Ottawa, making it like, say, the craft beer market in Saskatchewan. Here we have a strong craft beer market, and all over Canada they do. Open up the market to it. Make it like, you know, put in the same kind of measures as they put in for selling beer or something like that, but make it an open market. And then, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but, ultimately, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to come on your show, and it's been a great talk with you guys.
Well, thanks for joining us. Mike?
You know what? I'm going to agree with Cody on the marijuana thing and the cannabis. And yes, it should be opened up. I think that's what free enterprise is all about, in building some strength within your countries. And again, establishment politics get in the way, and Ottawa is part of that. And that's what we're trying to get rid of. So I think that, you know, when Max says he wants away from establishment politics, it's such a big array of things that people don't even understand the terminology. But we'll get to the bottom of it, and I'm sure that that's a party that's going to listen to the people, and we're looking at efforts to try to make things better in the country and hopefully getting away from opiates and all those things in our world, and which is a bad deal too. And on the other side of politics, I think that, big change is happening and people's views are changing because the world's changing. So hopefully with the things that they learned prior coming into this next stage, they have a good direction on where they want to be and where they want to go. I think Maxime Bernier has at least a Canadian voice of where we would like to be and where we want to go. And I think that address is a negotiable thing around the world. So I'm going to stick with him at the G20 summit. So therefore, his government continues to win with me. And as soon as somebody shows me different, I think we still have to give Max the chance to make his Canada work.
Well said. Duke?
Well, I'll keep this short. My personal perspective on marijuana, legalization is a joke. We got rid of one law and replaced it with 47 other laws. Marijuana should be decriminalized for possession and cultivation, leave trafficking as a criminal offense. I can do the same thing with beer. I can grow all the beer make all the beer I want, give it to my friends freely. I can't sell it. Pot should be the same way. I shouldn't have to worry about growing as much as I want in my backyard. Anyhow, enough of that. That's my personal perspective on pot. Decriminalize, not legalize. Get the government out of the marijuana business and big pharmacies out of the marijuana business.
He's going political in a minute.
Well, government is the reason we can't use marijuana commercially. There was a time in this country when much of Southern Ontario was covered in commercial hemp, and it was used in the production of plywood. It was used in the production of what we now call pressboard. It was used and mixed into the production of cardboard. We could eliminate 50% of our dependency on new pulp material and recycled pulp material, paper material, if we implemented commercial grade hemp. It makes cardboard that's like wood. It makes plywood 10 times stronger because the fibers of the hemp plant are like long strings. It adds strength to layers of natural wood in plywood. It has unbelievable uses, but DuPont financed a man named Harry Anslinger who told everyone in North America that marijuana makes black men rape white women. So pot became illegal. That's the end of my marijuana rant. Cody, thank you so much for letting us chew your ear off here today. I wish you best of luck in your campaign. As someone who campaigned in the Ontario provincial election this spring, all I can say to you, sir, get out from behind your desk, put your feet on the street, and knock on candidates' doors until your knuckles bleed. Go talk to the people.
Show up.
I did that, and they are sick and tired of being fed information through electronic media. Old school door knocking, handshaking politics is what will get you elected. For a nobody, my first provincial campaign, I actually got votes.
There you go.
Nice. Well, I agree completely.
Well said, dude. Well said. I'm going to correct you on a statement there. Cannabis, if implemented, could eliminate 100% of our deficiency on any pulp product. And I defy anybody out there to prove me wrong. I dare you to prove me wrong on that statement. The only benefit is that we now see on the planet massive reduction in oxygen production on the planet. These are real figures that we look at. We know that plankton produces 60% of the oxygen we breathe on this planet, and we have lost anywhere between 40 to 60% of the plankton, depending on what reports I read. So, of course, we've lost 30% or 40% of our production of oxygen on the planet. The rest of it comes from trees. We've got to stop the practice of deforesting our planet. We have to plant industrial hemp all over this world because the detoxifying effect of the root system of a hemp plant is a miracle. You can detoxify radiated soil. You can remove oil contaminants. You can remove just about any contaminant known to man simply by planting industrial hemp on that piece of land. And 2 years after you plant that field of industrial hemp, you will produce the best crop of any vegetable that you will plant on the face of this earth. by planting it on that crop of land, simply because of the way the plant system and the root system works in cannabis. I could go on for hours of how it could save our biosphere, because our biosphere is under attack. Our food is poison. Our everything they're spraying in our skies is ending up in our food. Our society is becoming so sick, and we can turn it all around, but we've got to cut the head off the snake, because the snake is killing us all. And today, I hope these conversations we had maybe get people thinking, because it's something that's on my mind, guys, 24 hours a day, how we can get society rallied around a universal cause. Well, to me, that universal cause is allowing ourselves to look in the mirror and say that our children are going to have some kind of resemblance of the earth that we grew up on. And right now, I can't say that. We know it's happening. We have to make sure that we get involved in the changes. Well, you know what, guys? Our children are going to curse us. That's all
if
I got to say.
Even, if they can even survive it, Barry.
That's they're going to curse us. They're going to curse us. And I don't want to experience that in my lifetime. Anyways, you know what, guys? This has been a great show. I've really enjoyed this conversation with you, gentlemen. I'm going to get you back again. Cody, thanks again for joining me. And I look forward to more conversations with you. Mike, always having great conversations with you. And Duke, what can I say? We're always yapping at each other. So thanks for joining me, gentlemen.
I hope to see you tonight on my show.
We'll see. I've been on two already today.
Maybe I'll bounce on with you.
All right, okay. Buddy. It's on Canadian Patriot Report on Facebook.
Got it.
Awesome, guys. Well, thanks for joining us, folks. This is the end of the show for this week. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us babble.
Thanks for having us, Barry.
Anytime.
It's always a pleasure to come.
Good luck, Cody.
Thank you very much. It was nice talking to you guys. I enjoyed it.
Okay, and thanks to PIR for providing this platform for us to share our thoughts. Thanks to Steve Roberts for producing my show. He is the man. And thanks for tuning in and lending us an ear. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. God bless you all, and have a very, very good week. Bye for now.